Everybody doing today? Or as I usually start off with youth. Hi, guys. I am not Pastor Mike either, just letting y'all know. Michael called me last week, and he was like, hey, I'm going to be out at Fort Stockton. You mind preaching next week? Like, okay. Now, this comes right on the back of me talking to the youth about stepping out. And so it was kind of, hey, here's your chance to lead by example. So here we go. And the more and more I thought about, okay, what am I gonna bring for Sunday morning? The more and more I got focused on the call. The call of God on our lives. So I started thinking about the qualifications and the process. And then what God really wants. And let me tell you, there's a lot of things that people think they have to have qualifications for, but we're going to look at two today. One, we're going to look at education. Have you guys ever been in a room of people and thought you didn't have enough knowledge to talk amongst the group? Right, and you're afraid if you say something, you're going to be like, okay, that's going to sound stupid if I say that, so I'm just not going to say anything at all. Okay, we've all been there, okay? Paul was one of these guys that would make you feel that way, okay? So we're going to look at a little bit about Paul's education. By age 13, he was sent off to study Jewish history, actually master Jewish history. He was also sent to master the Psalms and also the works of the prophets. That right there would have been enough to make any of us in this room probably cry. Okay? But we proceed on. While he was studying, he's under this guy named Gamaliel. And Gamaliel wasn't just a teacher, okay? When I read that, I was like, okay, well, who was Gamaliel in Paul's life that made him push on this much? And I looked in a little bit of it, and I found that he was this really great teacher. And then when I called Mike, I was like, man, this guy Gamaliel is sticking out in my mind for some reason. And Michael, and I'm going to quote Michael, Gamaliel was the cream of the crop. He wasn't just a teacher. He was the teacher you prayed for if you truly wanted to learn. He was that much of an influence. This education would go on 5 or 6 years, and then Saul moved on and became a lawyer. No doubt that Saul was looking to become part of the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin was basically a group of 70 plus men and that ruled over Jewish laws and history, or religion, sorry. Paul also spoke several different languages. Which, me, English is a stretch, okay? He spoke Greek, Hebrew, reasonable Latin, and then Aramaic. By all accounts, Paul was a very well-educated man. Even by today's standards, this right here will make any of us, like, shiver in the fact that we are not as knowledgeable as he is. On the flip side, we have in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, we have Peter and John. Okay? And we're going to look at what the Sanhedrin thought about Peter and John. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Okay, so on one hand, we have Paul, very well educated. On the other hand, we have Peter and John, unschooled, ordinary men. If you haven't noticed by now, let me just spell it out for you. Your education has nothing to do with God's call on your life. The second thing we tend to focus on is religion. Okay? Matthew chapter 23. We're not going to read the whole chapter. I just want to make sure you guys knew where I was getting my information. It's full of the woes from Jesus to the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. And he was rebuking them for their hypocrisy of religion. It seemed to me like they need to get a little more relationship and a little less religion. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 and 4. Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us birth into living hope through his resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept for you in heaven. That religion can't save you. That religion will perish and fade. That inheritance won't. Your education has nothing to do with God's call. Your religion has nothing to do with God's call. Raise your hand if you've ever heard the statement, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. Okay, I think everybody's heard that at least once. My question is, are we listening? Are we actively listening for that call on God, on our lives? The second point I have today is the process. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 10 through 12, and herein my judgment about what is good for you in this matter. Last year you were first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish you the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to the one who has, not according to the one who does not have. Okay. First step, accept Jesus Christ in your heart. That's step one. You cannot proceed through this process until that decision has been made. That's what everything else is built off of. So we're going to skip down to two. Okay. Second step, in order to discover the call of God on your life, you have to be willing. In the 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the church of Titus is being commended by Paul for their eager willingness. You have to be willing. It's a requirement. Not really. God can use you either way. God would much rather use a willing person than a not willing person. That doesn't mean he can't. He just prefers it. The willingness to move, to step out of your comfort zone. We've been talking a lot about stepping out of your comfort zone in the youth. It can be anything from talking to an individual that you don't normally talk to, which is honestly, some people get real anxiety about that type of stuff, to teaching a class, to preaching a sermon. It can look like anything to get you out of your comfort zone. Matthew 14:22 through 31, it's the story of Peter stepping out of the boat and walking to Jesus. And you know, Peter gets kind of a bad rap. Right? Because, you know, everything focuses on, okay, he took his eyes off God. He took his eyes off Jesus. But let's face it, he stepped out of the boat. How many of us would have looked at the waves and the storm and just decided not to because we might get hurt? Hebrews chapter 6 and 1. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings of Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundations of repentance from acts that led to death and of faith in God. The youth and I have really been talking about the milk, the basics of Christianity, versus the meat, the digging in deeper of the Bible and of God and really experiencing what God has for us. Don't misunderstand me. The milk is important. The milk is necessary. The milk is where we base our entire belief system and our knowledge of Christ. But at some point, you need to get off the milk. It's not a decision. At some point, you're going to have to move beyond the basics of Christianity and dig in deeper and find out what God has for you in your life. Step 4, grow in spiritual maturity. Part of that growing in spiritual maturity is being willing to step out in faith. Step out, teach a class, talk to a person that you don't normally. But again, this is a process. The process is a process. You can't grow in spiritual maturity unless you're willing to step out. And you can't step out unless you're willing to. My third and final point is what God has for us. And before we get started on that, I've got a video for you guys. If you guys have never seen that movie, watch that movie. But as I was thinking through this, I heard two words, very best, repeated over and over and over again. So what does God want? Your very best first. Let me repeat that. He wants your very best first. In 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And in Mark chapter 12 and 30, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. God doesn't just want our very best. He wants it first. He doesn't want your very best after you've already tried everything else. He doesn't want your very best after you've tried handling it yourself. He wants it first, before you try anything else. He wants us to put Him first. And let's not get confused. It is a choice. It is a choice to put Him first. Just like it's a choice on what you wear on a daily basis, like what you eat on a daily basis or what you drink. It's a choice. There's one other thing we really need to really say. Your very best is not enough. Your very best is nowhere near enough. A lot of us in this room are good at a lot of stuff, but it's not enough. We have to put God at the center of everything we do for it to even be close to good enough. John chapter 15 and verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We've got to keep God at the center of everything we do. Because if we don't, It is not enough. It's nothing. We can do nothing on our own. Most of us in here feel lost most of the time. I think I can pretty well say that. But there's one thing that I know for sure. Everyone in this room is what's happening right now. God is calling you. Now, whether he's calling you to join ministry, or whether he's calling you to teach a class, or step out and talk to someone you don't normally, or whether he's calling you into a relationship with him, there is a call on your life. He desires that relationship with us. Not just me, not just Hal or Gary, every single person in this room, every single person in this world, he desires that relationship with you. But it's a process. No matter where you're at in that process, the first step you either have to take or you've already taken. Accepting Jesus Christ in your heart. It is your choice. It's always been your choice. Will you make that choice today? Dear God, thank you so much for the amazing power that you display in the mercy that you give us on a daily basis. I thank you for every moment you have given us. The suffering and the pain, as well as the joy and the peace. Everyone in this room is called. Everyone in this room you love. I pray that we would open our hearts, open our ears, and open our minds to your call to God. In your name I pray. Amen.